I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out a bad seat, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad tape, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios of the Farrell Appalachian, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny hasn't been around in a while, but maybe that's because she picked up a satchel page of the Grimdicka. I'm talking about that fat stick Grimdicka in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People trust the plastic bag to ready to drive in some kind of fashion shake it up. Should do, but I'm a friend to come around, fight to fight the party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess. It's tired to chatter. My brains are splattered all over Manhattan. Should do be sure I got. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell with Carver High tonight. The number is 844-843-6879. To get on the bench, the Lightning lead the Canadians headed to the third period at Amalie in Tampa, 1-0. So is it going to be the end of the season on the Colton goal? The rookie scored at 13:27 of the second period from McDonough and Savard on the doorstep with a shot redirected in by Colton. That's all they have on the board. One zip. And what a game it's been. Tampa 19-14 in shots. Tampa 44-35 in hits. Montreal 20-17 in faceoffs won. Both teams have had three power plays, and nobody scored on the power play. And four block shots for Tampa, seven takeaways, 10 turnovers for the Lightning. Carver High, what do you think? After two periods, 1-0. Another shutout for Vasilevskiy. I know you have a ticket on Vasilevskiy as the Conn Smythe winner and also one on Braden Point, but not one on, God forbid say his name, Kucherov, who you feel, if I even mention him, it's a jinx.
Yeah.
They're playing in the Hurricane Alley right now down in Tampa. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I think once again, Montreal, you know, they haven't played poorly. I think they've been really good on the kill. Tampa's had a bunch of power plays and haven't been able to score. I thought that Montreal had a couple chances, especially that 3-on-1, which they did not get a good shot off in the last 2 or 3 minutes of the second there. Once again, like a little mistake, and you got this grinder guy, Colton, that scores for Tampa. They've held the big guys down. Think about it. The guy whose name we don't want to say, Braden Point, Stamkos, none of them have really done anything in this series. Like, Montreal's done a pretty good job, but they need to find a goal here in the last 20. I think there's a chance they might. We might get some overtime tonight, Scotty.
So how in God's name does this guy have his, oh, I guess it's his fourth of the playoffs. So it's not like Colton hasn't scored before, because I haven't remembered his name on this team in a month.
Yeah, everybody's had a piece for the Lightning, especially in this series. It seems like a different line has kind of scored their goals each night. But once again, you get Colton to open things up. One of the two guys on the Lightning who doesn't have a cup, him and Savard.
Yeah, I guess, right? Those are the only ones that don't have one on that team?
Two of them. I think there might be one or two other guys, but those two guys who were in on that goal, Savard had the assist. I know that they came over this year. They weren't on the team last year.
Wow. All right. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM Channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego near Tijuana. Do you wanna? Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's good to have you with us on the bench. I'm Pharrell with Carver High tonight. The number again, 844-843-6879. One-zip Tampa going to the third. I bet on the Lightning today on Coast to Coast. Obviously, I mentioned that I had them to win. No big deal. I think it's, you know, Captain Obvious. Is there anyone on the face of the earth that thought that this wasn't going to end tonight, Carver High? And I have to say, at this point, I would have absolutely no problem whatsoever in seeing Montreal tie this game and win it and give us another night of hockey on Friday night. I'm not interested in this ending tonight, even though I bet on them. I would actually like, and you heard me say this before the show, I hope Montreal ties it and beats them, because I just can't bear the thought of no hockey. And then when basketball ends, I need a shrink. It's so bad, as you know, Carver High. It is so bad for me that today I scheduled a visit with Dr. Garden. As you know, Dr. Garden plows the fields in my back door. Every year I get my prostate exam done and the PSA from the extraordinary, gifted, and championed Dr. Garden. And so today was the call for my prostate exam. I always check for the prostate exam every year when hockey and basketball end, Carver High, because I feel like there's nothing worse. So I might as well have someone check my flower.
Got to go visit Dr. Backdoor every once in a while, right?
Dr. Backdoor has been notified that it's time. I'm going August 19th, so I still have a little window before I have that. Because it's quite the... I'll never forget the first time the guy did it. He said to me, "How do you think the Penguins are going to do this year?" All right, Carver High talking bad about people again. Unbelievable. I mean, it just really is.
I can't control myself sometimes. It just has to happen. You know, that's just the way that it goes.
All right, so they're underway in the third. By the way, the Lightning start with a short little 30-second power play, the end of one here. Oh, they almost got another one in front. Sorelli on the doorstep. Uncle Futrelli Sorelli. Long lost cousin of mine from Italy. By the way, I might as well just throw it out there now. I'm taking Italy.
Yeah, look, I got to tell you, I'm going to also. And listen, I have a lot of family heritage with England. We're gonna put all the emotional stuff on the side here. Let's look at this from just a pure gambling perspective. Italy has been outstanding in this tournament. In my eyes, this is a coin flip game on Sunday. I know that there's a tilt to England because the game's at Wembley. There's going to be plenty of Italian fans there. Let me tell you right now, there's going to be plenty of Italian fans in Wembley on Sunday. And if you're going to give me Italy with a little bit of plus money to win that game, in a game like that that's so razor close, I'm going to take the team with the plus money, and that's Italy. That's what I got to do.
What is the number on the game? Do you know already? Because I know England's favorite.
Let me get you the updated, because I saw plus 105 for Italy earlier today. Let's see where that's at right now. How about Italy in the 90-minute line is plus 185. England 90-minute line plus 170. Now, they haven't – let me see if they've put up to lift the cup. Here we go. All right, England minus 130, Italy minus 120. So it's gotten closer since this afternoon when they first put it up. So a lot of people probably got on Italy. But I'll play Italy on that 90-minute line at plus 185.
So to win it in 90, so to win it in regulation.
Yep, yep. Italy in regulation plus 185.
Don't you feel like it's just waiting to go to extra time and PKs or extra time at the very least?
Right. Look, if that happens, I can try to either hedge it or get something with the draw, you know, maybe live, you know, some point in the second half. If it's looking like it's heading towards extra time, I could try to get some of my money back that way. But I'll probably play Italy plus 185 just because they've been so good. They've been so good in this tournament. You're giving me those kind of numbers with them? I think you got to do it.
So just so you know, by the way, Price just made like three just embarrassingly delicious saves.
Ridiculous saves.
Ridiculous. It should be 2-0 right now. Absolutely ridiculous saves. But let's get back to what matters here. Let's honestly, this soccer game. I cannot believe I'm saying this, but I think it's better than the Stanley Cup. It's better than the Super Bowl.
Let me tell you, it's better than
anything. Yeah. That tournament was the greatest thing I've ever seen, and the World Cup's even better. We already know the World Cup's better, but this is beyond. The World Cup's every team in the world. This is just European teams. Like, and I've never seen anything more exciting. I've seen it before, but this is the first time in my life ever that I really truly invested every day that it was on. I invested myself in it and dove in. And I think it was the greatest sporting event I've ever seen in my life. And it's way better than this Stanley Cup Finals. Stanley Cup playoffs.
Now, look, these things, obviously, every 2 years, you know, it's every 4 years you get the Euro. Every 2 years you get a massive international tournament. You get the Euro 2 years. 2 years later, you get the World Cup, and it just goes around in a circle. Having these two teams in this final, this has a chance, and this isn't going to resonate probably as much here in the States, but across Europe and across the world, this is a massive, massive final to have England and Italy at the end in the Euro Championship. England hasn't been in a major final since 1966. That's Euros or World Cup. They haven't been to the end since 1966, and now they are here on Sunday in Wembley.
So they haven't been to a final of the World Cup. There's a chance breaking in alone. Oh, God, Vasilevsky made a save. That's got to be a penalty. It's got to be a penalty. They're not. He's not calling a penalty on Cernak.
Wow.
You got to be kidding me. Anderson's cripple on the ice. No penalty? No penalty. There's no call on this. Let's watch it again. Are you watching this live? You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me that he didn't hook him down.
Wow. He was on side.
And then he slammed into the post. Oh, come on now. He tackled him. Give me a break.
Yeah, that's a bad non. That you got it. That's on a breakaway. You got to call on a partial breakaway. You have to call.
Look at his. Look at him. He tripped him. He yanked him. He pulled him down.
Yeah, that's awful. I know they don't want to call.
I mean, you
got to
be kidding me.
You got. You have.
Is this the day of bad calls? I've never seen anything like it. This is the worst day I've ever seen with refs in my life. That was a penalty as sure as I'm sitting here. Let me tell you something. Let's go back to this other thing. And I know I have a guest coming up. I don't have time for this.
Oh, you got an hour. Jimmy's in the second hour. You got plenty of time.
Oh, well then great. So I thought the call on the penalty shot in the end of the extra time, the first extra time of the England-Italy game on Sterling was the worst call I think I've ever seen, except, let me say, I think the Romo to,
Des
you remember
Bryant.
The pass in Green Bay?
Romo Des Bryant play, yeah.
The Des Bryant, that call was really bad. That was terrible. I thought the Steeler call, remember the tight end over the line said he fumbled?
Yes.
That was bad. This was worse. The fact that, and then what made it even worse for me, I got to tell you, worse for me was after the game, listening to that Sterling guy say that he tripped him and that he definitely hit my leg. And we all know he never hit his leg. He tripped himself. And we all know that what really happened was, is that the two other defenders that came in on the play bumped him. And so it looked like the bump is what got the call. And there should have been no call on a trip that was invisible. There was no trip. He just fell down. And then when he fell down, he looked to the left, back at the ref. While he was falling, looking for the call, he was like full tilt looking at the ref for the penalty call. And it was the greatest Oscar performance I've ever seen. It was a flop. He never got hit at all. No one tripped him. He just flopped. He dove. He bit it. And then he got bumped by the defender coming in trying to stop himself. Even he had his hands up when he bumped into him. And I thought it was the worst call that I've seen in sports in, I mean, I'm going to say 10 years. And I mean it. Like, I'm not changing my opinion. And today I did say, screw the queen, too. So I made it real clear. There's no one at all. And even my own nephew lives in London. I said, screw him, too. I hope his girlfriend cheats on him. I mean it. Like, that was the worst call I've ever seen in my life. First of all, he would have never scored from that angle. And no one was there to save him or score or header or kick it in or anything. There was a goalie and two defenders there to stop it. The ball was not going anywhere except out of bounds. And it was the worst call in the biggest game of the year, the biggest game ever, the semifinal of the Euros. You make that call. And then, like, he immediately made the call penalty. Then VAR backed him up. So screw them and screw that ref and screw Sterling, who doesn't he play on City or is he on Man U?
Man City.
He's on City. I was right. So here's the deal. I don't like him anymore either, ever. I know he's a liar. No one ever touched him. And it was the worst thing I've ever seen. That was a terrible – that was – the game was fixed. And they gave London the game so they could play in the final at Wembley. It's that simple. All right, Burrell on the Bench with Garber High. Do you seriously disagree with me about that call? I mean, honestly, and let me just say real quick, two calls missed in this third period, blatant. Anderson getting yanked down and Petrie getting yanked down right in front of the refs. So obviously, they're not going to call anything. They're not going to call anything because I've seen two blatant penalties, blatant. I mean, right in front of the guys, and they do nothing about it. So at this point, this game's clearly – they're done blowing whistles. They're done making calls. Montreal has to do something to even this game out. And I got to tell you, with 13 left, to me, it's play dirty. I mean, you got to get a puck loose. You got to get a breakaway. You got to get something. And it's, I think, by tripping, slicing, slashing, cutting, cross-checking, tripping, holding, interfering, anything to get a chance or a break because – the refs are not doing their job. They're not doing their job, and that's all there is to it. And you know I'm effing right.
No, look, they're not. They are not calling a thing. And I know that they, you know, it looks like Gary a couple weeks ago before game one when he sat up there at the podium saying, you know, our officials call the game the same way. I mean, it's just not true. It just is not true. And this game right here, just the first 8 minutes of the third period, are a clear case of that. They do not call the game the same way because there has been three or four clear infractions that have not been called, especially that one breakaway. I mean, it was just – it's ridiculous.
Oh, my God. He yanked him down. He almost broke his neck. I mean, that was the worst missed call I've seen in the Stanley Cup playoffs, right in front of the guy's face, right in front of him, like 3 feet in front of him. He pulled him down on the breakaway and no call. It was embarrassing. It's embarrassing. You know why? Because now they have no chances and they never have the puck. And then they had a chance to score and that should have been a penalty shot.
Yep.
That was a yank down on a breakaway. And that's a penalty shot in any game of the year. And instead at least give him the 2-minute power play, and they give him nothing. Yeah. And then 4 minutes later, Petrie gets yanked down in the circle. They give him nothing. So, I mean, they're screwed. They're really screwed. But they have to earn it the hard way. In my opinion, at this point, they have to cheat. They have to do anything possible. You know, take a stick, shove it in someone's onions, shove it down their throat, do something. Because if you're not going to call that, then you're not going to call anything. So you might as well, hurt somebody, because they're not, you know, they're willing to hurt you to stop you from scoring on the breakaway. So no call, no dice. All right, screw you. Now tell me, go back to this soccer game. Tell me I'm wrong. No one has the gall to try to argue with me about this. I cannot believe that I have really seen nothing about it. I can't even believe that I've seen nothing about it after the game. Have you seen anything about it? Like, I mean, do you think they're happy in Copenhagen?
No, I mean, clearly they're not happy in Copenhagen, but I think that the soccer fan that watches all the time knows things like this happen. I think that
in the semifinal of the Euros,
you see, that's where
in
I'm
extra
at.
Time.
And this is what I was trying to say to you today when this happened live and we were on the TV show. Like, I can see where a ref could call a penalty there. Now, when you super slow-mo it, you can see that he kind of tripped over himself. In the full speed of the game, I could see where a ref can call for a penalty. But like I said, it's the type of play that I would only call a penalty there, you know, in a you know, whatever, regular season, middle of nowhere, Premier League,
in the first half
type of game. I don't even know if I'd call that in the first half of the semifinals of the Euros. I don't think I'd call that in a game of this magnitude, period. It was that soft. But I think I heard one analyst say it kind of this way. Like, if the ref would have not called the penalty and they went to the VAR, VAR probably would have upheld whatever the ref called. Because that's how kind of inconclusive the footage was. It was really hard to overturn it, whichever way it was called.
At a minute, or at 104 minutes, yeah, of the Euro semifinal,
you can't make the
call
there. You can't, unless it's the guy has to take it. He has to absolutely hammer him there and be a clear foul, as far as I'm concerned. And there was a little bit too much gray area for me.
Gray.
Yeah, but look, I don't.
That was like, you know what it was? You might have, it was like blowing a kiss on your Valentine.
I've seen worse, but not in that spot. I've never seen anything worse in that spot.
You know what I call that in basketball when I play? I played with a guy the other day, right? So this guy shows up. He's like, I don't know, Russian or something. He shows up at the game, and I play with all these Russian dudes. No problem. They play. I've been playing with them for a few years. They're the ones that the kid hit the half court shot in overtime to beat us in the championship game. This kid threw literally a half court from the scorer's table shot with no time left in overtime to beat us in a game we had won and a championship we had won and we lost. And so this other guy shows up and he's playing and, you know, he goes in for a layup or something, and I block his shot. I swat it out of bounds, and he called a foul. And everybody knew it was a clean swat. And first of all, this guy's never played with us before, ever. He's never played once. It was like his first time ever. And so I told him the next time, because everybody, like, laughed when it happened. They were all like, oh. And then I went to him the next time down the floor. I just stopped. You know, they were like in a check, and I said they were checking the ball or something, and we weren't playing. And I said, we don't call candy ass shack around here. I said, we don't call candy around here, son. Just so you know. And he goes, hey, I didn't know. He goes, I didn't know. I don't know how you guys play or whatever. I go, well, we don't call candy, because candy is candy ass. Some of that soft sugar. You know, I touched you. I blew a breath on you, and you got all rattled, and suddenly the ball's in the bleachers, and you call a foul because you like want the layup or something after I swat you into Never Never Land, and you call candy ass, and I'm like, we don't call it candy around here. Just so you know, So next time down, you might as well just not even call anything, because now everyone thinks you're candy. That's what I said to him. I just was really nice. I go, just so you know, you're now candy. Everybody knows you're candy, so don't go near candy. He'll call something. So because I get mauled. I got scratches all over my body. Cuts, scratches, you know, bleeding. I got it all. Because I'm a scorer, and I get mauled, and I don't call anything. The only time I call a foul is when I completely get hammered, and it affects everything in my shot, like where I have no chance to get the ball off, and I'm just tackled or hit or smashed in the face and arms, and I can't even get the ball out of my hands. I call it. Anything else, I just let it go. Because around where I play, you're just candy. And I got to tell you, Sterling's candy. And that guy's candy to me. And I thought that call was candy ass. And I thought it was, you know, I mean, the timing of it in a game that good. And then I had Denmark at plus 440. And to see, and it, I don't even care about the bet, but I wanted them to win. Like, my mom and grandma and all them were from Copenhagen. My whole family's Danish on that side, my mother's side. And, you know, my mom's been dead forever. God rest her soul. She was cool as hell. But I was rooting for them, and I thought they got shafted. And I thought the game was fixed at that point because they just gave it to England. And they're playing at Wembley, and now they're in the final. I mean, the whole thing is like, it's like a bad movie.
Yeah.
It's like a bad movie.
It's a real tough look.
It's like you talk about corruption in tennis, right? How these tennis matches are all fixed. Even at Roland Garros, they busted a chick. Wimbledon, you know they've had it at Wimbledon. And all over the world, tennis is the most corrupt, on-the-take, dirty sport. No one respects tennis. No one. No one respects it, you know, except for Patrick McEnroe, honestly, and John. Who else gives a hell? You know, the only reason Fowler likes it is because they pay him so much money to go over there and do it every year.
Yeah.
But the reality is nobody gives a rat's ass because it's so corrupt. To me, today, I felt like I saw corruption at the highest level at the Euros. That's how bad I thought it was. Like, I was like, oh, my God, they just gifted him the game. They just said, you're playing in the final. When is the final? Sunday?
Yeah.
Saturday?
Sunday.
Sonny, I'm just like, there you go. The game's fixed. They just gave them the game. You knew they would never score after that. You knew that it was over.
And as I was saying to you, I felt England was clearly pressing. I mean, from this whole extra time, they had the ball in Denmark's end the entire extra time before that goal. And I honestly did feel that if they got it to penalties, England would choke. Like that was kind of where my feel was for that game. But, you know, these things
happen. My problem is that I've seen no one talk about it, like that it was dirty.
Well, you got to go about, on. I got to send you. You got to go to some of the European people. You know, you got to go to some of the commentators over there.
Well, in America, everybody's just talking about Harry Kane scored to win.
They don't care. They don't care because that's it. It's quick and done in America.
And what are they saying in Europe?
Over there, they're making a big deal about it.
Are they? Well, they should, because it was corrupt as all hell. I mean, it was unbelievable. Let me guess, the ref was English? I mean, come on. So, if that game was on Montreal ice, they would be bombarding it with all kinds of debris. As you know, I love the debris. when there's a bad call, you might get hit with some debris. And all I know is when the debris starts falling, it's a bad call. You're going to have it on home ice. But it's easy not to make that call on the road because, you know, obviously the refs are completely on the take because I'm sitting there watching that. Tonight, that no call, I mean, the guy, is he paralyzed? I think he's actually still in the game, but when it happened, I thought he was paralyzed for life, but no call, right in front of the ref. I mean, Morenci has to be like absolutely, he's probably behind bars at this point after that no call. I mean, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I think I saw him tweet something to the effect of, it's like they don't want to go, nobody in the league wants to go back to Montreal. They want to end it tonight. They don't want to have to go back to Montreal and deal with crossing the border and doing all that. He's like, he's saying that's they're ridiculous. All on the take. They're all no, on the take.
I agree with him. I agree with him. I'm saying I think it's ridiculous that the league and the teams and everybody involved wouldn't want to go back for another game when the season's about to end in 5 minutes.
They want it over.
And it's because of the refs. They should have gotten a penalty shot, and if not, at least 2 minutes, at least a power play, and they gave him neither. And then Petrie got yanked. I thought the refs in this game tonight proved how wrong Gary Bettman is and how awful they are and how completely on the take they are. They're just completely – they're like, I guarantee you that they had a meeting after the second period and they said, put him away. Put him away. We're not blowing any whistles.
Once Tampa got that goal, once Tampa got that goal to go up 1-0, that was it.
Look at them; they're putting the Stanley Cup out on the table now. They're already ready. The party's already started. It's this game's over. There would be nothing better on the face of the earth right now in the last 6 minutes for them to score a goal and then win in overtime.
This guy's got some gig, huh? This guy Pritchard, he walks around with the cup every year. Your boy here, Blondie, comes out with that cup every year.
He's been in my studio with that thing multiple times. So he does have a it's so funny, that guy's gig. That's what he does. He has to do something else, doesn't he?
Is
that all he does ever?
I mean, I hope he's at least got some Monday to Friday job over there at the Hall of Fame where he does something, like when they don't have to parade the cup everywhere. Right. But he does the whole act where, like, you know, they take pictures of him buckling the cup into an airplane seat. You know, he gets to do all that dopey
stuff. What about, like, I wonder if he sleeps with it, like in the same bed, like in pajamas.
I mean, you know, they want to sell you that. They sell you that that's what he does, you know, that he's the guardian of the cup. You know, just please. First of all, there's 17 of those things floating around all over the place.
So was it you that I argued with about how long Bettman will keep the job, or was it Mafia?
No, it was me. I told you, I was the one who thought that Bettman was in it for at least another 5 to 10 years. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's still in, he still looks like he wants to do it every day. It's not like a situation like, you know, when
these guys
Stern,
never know, like, what.
like, I'll give you an example. Like when Stern turned it over to Adam Silver, you know, a couple years before he passed away, when David Stern stepped away as the NBA commissioner, like you kind of had a sense when Stern stepped away that like he was kind of done. Like it was time. Like you could tell. He'd been through it all. He got the league into the right place, and he was a lot older, and he looked a lot older, and he was finished. I don't feel Gary's at that point yet. I just don't think that Gary's there yet.
But I think Gary saw what happened to Stern, and he's like, I don't want that to happen to me. The guy quit the job at the NBA, and he was dead within a year or two.
Yeah, that too. A lot of people. That's in all walks of life. I mean, in all walks of life, people don't want to. Quit doing.
Remember our boy at the Fan used to tell us that. He'd say, if I stop doing this, I'll be dead in 6 months.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true.
Great chance there. And another save by Vasilevskiy. He kicked it out like it didn't even matter, but it was a great shot on net.
What time we pulling the goalie here? I mean, this is the same exact situation we talked about a couple weeks ago with the Islanders in Game 7. They were down 1-0 in Tampa. And we were saying, what, 2.5? I mean, you got it.
Yeah, but they waited too long. I thought the Islanders waited too long. And then they couldn't even get a shot off.
Yeah.
They couldn't even get it in the zone. But I thought the Islanders did it really well, too. When they shut you down, you couldn't do anything. But this is embarrassing. Like, they're not even getting close to it. Like, 3 minutes ago, I saw the shot on goal. And that was a great shot on goal. I'm like, that's a great shot on goal. And he laughed it off with his leg. He's like, whoosh, see ya. Like this guy's seeing it like a beach ball right now. Your boy Vasilevskiy. He's seeing beach balls coming at him. There's not even I don't think they have a chance to score on him. I would absolutely snap if they scored, though. I would freak. I will freak if they tie this up. But I don't even think they're going to get close to it. It's 2:45 left. And is this Ducharme guy not going to pull his goalie? Like, what are you doing, bro? You got to go for it. It's over. Like, they can't even get the puck, let alone a shot. There's a chance in front. Once again, cleared out. And they only have one guy back, so they'll never stop the Lightning from scoring an empty netter. Not with one guy back. They got to have at least two guys up at the top. See, here's another loose puck. Like, they can't even get the puck.
No.
Like, that's what's amazing to me.
This is just like with the Islanders. This is how good this Tampa team is. They just don't allow you to breathe. They just don't.
2 minutes left. This game's over. They might as well just blow the whistle right now and let them drink from the cup. Like, they're doing nothing, right? They're doing nothing. Like, what are you doing? Yank his ass. He's still in there. He just left the ice. Now he's stopped. They can't even get him off the ice.
Jeez.
I mean, it's embarrassing. Do these guys not, you know, it's almost like, to me, they don't practice the empty net extra attacker. I know they do, but they sure don't look like they do, do they?
No, they don't.
I mean, they look terrible. Every team, when they get the extra attacker and they pull the goalie, they look like they're in grade school. It's awful. I don't understand it. What's the difference between the power play or the extra attacker on a empty netter? There is no difference. You still got a man advantage. You got more guys on the ice to pass it around to. It makes no sense to me how they can't even get it in the zone. I mean, all they do is keep it in the neutral zone the entire time and in their own end. They can never. And then when they're in their own end, they can't even get it out of their own end. They're like wheeling and circling, and they don't skate up ice north, south. It's all east, west BS in the neutral zone and in their own end. You know it.
Yeah.
When they won the Stanley Cup last year, did they do it on home ice or?
Well, no, they were in the bubble. They were in Edmonton.
Oh, that's right. That was right. Sorry. In the bubble. Like, they mess around with the puck, this team, like nobody's business. Like, they have had the puck right there, had a great chance to get a shot on goal, and they effed around with it so much, they never even got a shot. I mean, they shot it. It was blocked and sent out of the zone. It's a minute 24 left, and they still haven't had an effing shot. It's amazing to me how inept they are. It's the worst. This may be the worst empty net situation I think I've ever seen. They need to, get the puck and shoot it and crash the net and hit him. I mean, they're not calling any penalties, so go in there and interfere with him. Hit him. Do you disagree?
No, they need to change some things up. They've got to – what they're trying to do isn't working, and it's very hard against Tampa. You can't just skate into the zone against this team. But on the other hand, Tampa is so quick to pucks when you try to dump it in. It's a tough game with them. They're good on both ends of the ice. But you have to – here's what they have to do here. Here's the only way. You have to win the faceoff down here by Vasilevsky because it allows you to gain control of the puck already in the zone, because where they're not getting anything done because they can't establish. They can't get in. They can't get anything going. Have to win a faceoff here, push it back, and be able to move it around.
So here it is, the last minute. They're not even going to sniff it. They can't even get the puck. Look at this guy. He lost it at the point. He swung and missed at it at the point. They can't even get the effing puck up ice. Did I call this or what? They're still cycling in their own end.
I mean,
it's the most inept empty net I've ever seen, unless they score. Here's a great chance. Shoot the puck. Loose puck in front. That's the best chance they had right there. Now they got 50 seconds to do it. They had one chance, and it was right there. Shoot the puck.
Great save by Vasilevsky.
Like, what are they doing? They're passing it around instead of shooting it. They need to shoot the puck. They're passing it around. Still no shot. Passing it around. Passing it around. Cycling in the corner. Passing it around. They don't do anything. They don't shoot the puck. I mean, this game's over. Like, shoot it. Blocked, and it goes out of the zone. The game's over. There's 20 seconds left. They can't even get it in their end. They can't even get it in Tampa's end. It's down to 20 seconds. The party starts in Tampa, the back-to-back Stanley Cup champs. And look at them cross-checking them to death. They can't even get it out of the corner. It's in front. Now it's cleared. Game over. It's over. That's it. They won it. Montreal goes down there. 1-0 they lose.
There you go. Well,
There you go. And they made mincemeat out of the Canadians. The Canadians, when you think about it, they get the who had it? Anderson, the overtime goal.
Yeah.
They get an overtime goal, a cheap goal in overtime, but basically, in my view, they got swept.
Oh, look.
I thought that win they got the other night was cheap. That was a cheap goal. They should have gotten beat on the four-minute power play. The Lightning dominated them in this series like no other.
They sure did. Listen, this is a great team, and they did something that I did not think was going to be possible. They won the Cup twice in less than a calendar year. They won 8 rounds of playoffs in less than a year. That's pretty damn good. I mean, that's no joke what they did here.
They'll go down in history. I mean, these guys like Hedman and John Cooper, they're set
for
life.
Now we get to the sweat part. Now we get to the sweat. Did the shutout in the clinching game get me this Vasilevsky ticket to go along with my Tampa in 5 ticket, which is now a winner? I had Tampa in 5, and now can we get the double barrel here and get the Conn Smythe winner also to make it a big night here? A big night with the tickets. If we can get Vasilevsky.
I think you're going to get it because the guy just shut him out in the clincher again. He's going to win the Conn Smythe as sure as I'm sitting here. That's a done deal. You got both. You already got the 5. Now you're going to get – Vasilevsky just won the Conn Smythe. I guarantee it. I don't even have to look at the list. I don't even have to see the vote. That's over with and done. Mark my words.
Hope so.
But to me, it's a funeral because hockey just ended.
I know. That's the bad part.
I mean, it's just a funeral now.
We gotta wait 3 months now for another hockey game. It's just.
I mean, what are we gonna? Here's the deal. I said to 34C today, I go, what are we gonna talk about? The Olympics,
which they may or may not have, right? I mean, at this point,
I don't think they're canceling the Olympics. It's too late.
Either.
It's too late. They cannot cancel the Olympics that are starting in 15 days, whatever it is, 20 days. It's not even 20. It starts on the 23rd, which is, today, tomorrow's the 8th. So they're having the Olympics without fans. All right, Pharrell on the bench, Carver High, what do you think of, this team with the cap and everything and like who they let go, like Tyler Johnson, I said I would be a guy I'd offer up to Seattle. They didn't want to keep him this year. They wanted to trade him. Is he one guy that's out of there? What about, other high priced guys like Stamkos, who's always injured?
No, look, they're all credit to them because they won these 2 cups. But yeah, this offseason, they're going to have some decisions to make because they were $18 million over the cap for the playoffs. Now, they were able to finagle it because they were able to use that Kucherov money because he was on long-term IR the whole year. Stamkos was on long-term IR. So they were able to squeeze an extra $18 million onto their payroll. It is what it is. The rules are the rules. But they're going to have to make some – these guys are healthy now. You're not going to be able to do that next year with Kucherov or Stamkos. So they're going to have some decisions to make. They probably won't be the same team that they bring back, but this is an all-time accomplishment for me, winning twice in less than a year, and they deserve it. They were the best team, no doubt, and they might look a little different, but when you win cups out of it, Scotty, who cares? It's like when the Penguins won those 2 years in 16 and 17. You know, they won. That's it. I mean, if you got to lose a couple guys, like they got rid of Kessel and Murray eventually, it is what it is. You won the cup twice.
That's exactly what happens. I will say this. They didn't get to celebrate last year winning it in the bubble.
Yes.
I'll give them
nice
credit that they got to do it
tonight.
Yeah, home ice for their fans that never got to do it last year. They get to do it tonight.
And the Marlins with the walk-off against the Dodgers in the bottom of the ninth. Aguilar with the homer. Let's go. The Marlins beat the Dodgers for the 3rd day in a row.
Wow. I think I bet on him tomorrow, too. To go for the 4-gamer, and they lost Kershaw today to the 10-day. I got the Padres on right now. The Friars are on MLB Network. It's all evolving.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet.
Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.